As you mentioned, the drive-ins, the tooting of the horns rather than clapping really freaked me out the first song. You know, it was, ah, ah, ah. I was like, oh, that's a positive sound. They can't clap. It was so funny. And the windscreen wipe going to the music was so funny.
Hello and welcome back to In the Frame. Sadly, we're at the end of the series. I don't know where the time's gone. I can't believe we've been going since January. But thank you so much for all your incredible support and for sticking with us for a bit of weekly stagey escapism. We have two incredible guests for you today, Sophie Evans and Lauren Samuels, who both appeared on Over the Rainbow back in 2010, finishing in second and third place. After Over the Rainbow, Sophie went on to star as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz at the London Palladium. She made her Broadway debut in Michael Flatley's Lord of the Dance and most recently starred as Glinda in the West End production of Wicked. Lauren made her West End debut as Sandy in Grease, with her other West End credits including playing Scaramouche in We Will Rock You and Jules in the original West End production of Bend It Like Beckham. During the pandemic, Lauren made her directorial debut when she helmed and starred in a digital revival of The Last 5 Years. Sophie and Lauren are currently preparing to release an album together called Chasing Rainbows, Finding Judy, which features some of the Judy Garland music they performed on Over the Rainbow, as well as some of their favourite Judy songs. The stuff that's been released so far is absolutely stunning. It's incredible. I love Judy's music so much, and to hear these two voices perform some of the most iconic songs is such a treat. They're incredible. It was so lovely to speak to Sophie and Lauren all about the album, Lockdown Live, how they originally met, and lots, lots more. Here's the interview. Sophie Evans and Lauren Samuels, hello, you're in the frame.
Hello.
How is it going? So we've got some lovely sunshine today.
I know, how rare.
Both of you, I can see like gorgeous like light shining into both of your setups.
It's lovely.
So nice.
Paint the picture, Sophie, where are you? What's happening? What room are you in? What's happening?
I'm in Cardiff and I'm in my... Well, it's not the front room, actually. It's like the back. No, everyone's got like a kitchen diner now. That's what it is. It's like a kitchen diner / living area, big room. And it's a beautiful day. And yeah, can't wait to enjoy the bank holiday Monday sunshine.
Yeah. Lauren, I love that. I can see your drum kit.
Yes, I am in my living room. So we've got lots of plants going on. We're very into our plants, my partner and I. And then this massive bloody drum kit there. Yeah.
It's so cool. I'm obsessed with... I love that that six video you did when you were doing the drum solo at the end.
Took me a long time to learn that. My boyfriend has the patience of a saint. But yeah, very fun. I love it.
So I'll talk about you two. I want to find out about your music and everything you're up to. But first, I want to know, when did... Obviously, you were both on Over the Rainbow together. Do you remember when you first met, when you first encountered each other?
I don't know whether I do exactly remember the very first meeting. Do you?
I'm trying to think. I definitely remember you at Dorothy Farm. So Dorothy Farm was final 50. I remember Lauren. But the round before were Hackney Empire. I think it was the final 100. And I think they split it up into a few days. And I don't think we were on the same day. Because I remember Stephanie Davis. She was on my day. And Emily Fleming was on my day. So I assume you were the next day. So definitely the final 50. I can remember thinking, she's got a really good voice.
I don't even remember half of it. I swear, like, when I get asked about Over the Rainbow, I was in such a heightened state of, like, nerves, like, nervous energy, that I sort of, like, I'm like, I think I remember this. I think I remember that. You've got a way better memory about it than me.
Some things that stand out a lot, but there are some things I go, oh, my God, I don't remember that at all. But I've got some vivid memories, yeah.
But then did you two like strike up a friendship as that went on? Like by the time you finished and you left, you were obviously you were both in the top three. Were you like set? Like you were like, yeah, we're gonna be
yeah,
friends.
I mean we were all very friends with each other, even though we were all up against each other for the same part. I think it was quite nice. We all had a good fun time together. But I think our friendship blossomed further when we'd left the show, really. We stayed in touch quite a lot when we'd left the show, and then yeah, here we are now.
Yeah, doing this massive, exciting project. So how did this come about, what you're doing right now? How did it happen? What was the starting point?
Well, I've always wanted to do a few things together. We've got the same representation agent-wise. So an idea was floated around, maybe we should do something together, a celebration of our friendship and things like that. So we kind of brainstormed and thought, well, it needs to be something connected to The Wizard of Oz and the thing that brought us together. So we thought, why not do Judy Garland music, because I feel like that hasn't been done in our style forever maybe, but especially for a long time. So we thought we'd put a Judy Garland style evening on at Zadel in Piccadilly Circus, and we realised very quickly we knew very little of her music and we really needed to do research, which was probably good because it meant we had to delve into her life and we learnt a lot about her. And then Lauren said, oh, this would be such a good album.
Yeah, and then it sort of ran from there, didn't it? It was like, wouldn't this be the most amazing album? And then contacted a few people who might be interested in the idea to see if anyone sort of bit and went, yes, let's make this. And then we were lucky enough to have Alpha Music and Records say, yes, we're going to make this album for you. We believe in it. We believe in you. And then suddenly, it was so quick, wasn't it, the turnaround? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, we were in a recording studio and then we were doing a photo shoot and then it was happening.
And you've got these incredible photos. You're the first singles out already. Yeah. I mean, it's this crazy kind of thing, but it's one of these, in this time when we're restricted in what we can do, this is the perfect project and the perfect thing to keep your brains ticking along.
We were so lucky because we managed to squeeze in the recording just in that time before Christmas, when the lockdown broke for like 2 weeks or something, whenever it was. We managed to squeeze it in then. And then, as you say, we managed to do this amazing photo shoot and video shoots for the single as well. And yeah, it's just been like a whirlwind. And I think it's really something that's kept me, I don't know about you, Soph, but kept me sane during lockdown, having this project that I love and believe in so much.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
What's, you say like you've done lots of the research and you've delved into her back catalogue and stuff. What have been some of those hidden treasures that have stuck out?
For me, in terms of her music, it's listening to how kind of tortured a lot of it is. This is really dark, but I didn't realise how many, she's got these kind of torch songs and really lonely lyrics, and, you know, talking about me and my shadow is a song of hers that's really haunting, and thinking, wow, she was so lonely. Mm-hmm. And in a way, her life was so tragic, and she didn't like have anything to show for it at the end of her life, really, did she? She didn't have any, not that money's everything, but, you know, she wasn't this wealthy, wealthy woman who had the best life. It was tough. And I think that was the biggest shock for me.
Yeah, I think realising how many of the titles of her songs were, like Soph said, Me and My Shadow, By Myself, like they were all like really sad, lonely songs. And as we were delving into her life, and we did the show as well, sort of chronologically, when we actually did it live, we spoke in between each song about, you know, what part of her life she was at when this song was released. And we suddenly started to realise how, you know, how dark it was getting and how lonely the songs were. I think By Myself, which is one of my solos on the album, is a song that I'd not heard before and is so, so stunning and beautiful to sing. So, and you loved The Boy Next Door, didn't you?
Yeah, so I heard that. Yeah, The Boy Next Door from Meet Me in St. Louis, I think it is, because I think we used to say Meet Me in St. Louis.
Louis, but it's
The
Louis,
Boy
yeah.
Next Door, Meet Me in St. Louis, and it's just gorgeous. It's this is when she was very young in that, wasn't she? I think probably 1920, and she's just radiant in the film, and the song is just so youthful and, you know, exciting, and she just likes this boy next door, and but the melody is amazing, and yeah, I like that one.
It's such a nice, you're so right, it's such a nice style, and it's something that we don't hear that much at the moment. I feel like it's a really important era as well for like with the musical theatre, and she was a massive star and did things that like so few people had done and made it so big. But we don't kind of hear that music right now, do we? And it still sounds so great. It sounds so kind of fresh when I'm hearing like you two do it. And it's like important that I think more people are discovering this style, and we're like hearing more of it.
Yeah, I think that's what we wanted to do with the album as well. Like, although we wanted to honour the era of the album, because it's so the beautiful music is just, I mean, you don't want to touch it too much, you know, it is what it is, it speaks for itself. But we also wanted to bring it forward into the modern age a little bit and make it accessible for younger people that might not necessarily know Judy's music.
What are the plans? Do you think you'll do more live shows? I feel like this, you've got like a tour in here for sure with this concert. Yes. You've got a concert. That's what the people like. The people like a concert.
Yeah, we've got a couple of things that will come up. Obviously, the full album isn't out till July the 2nd. And then post July 2nd, we are hoping to get. We'd love to do that. Do a little tour around, because the music is like, as you say, it speaks for itself. It sells itself without having to know that it's even particularly Sophia night. It's like Judy Garland night, lovely. Yeah, we'll definitely go to that.
Totally. Yeah. I think that this, I know it's to keep on about COVID, but it still is having such a big impact on making plans. And I would love to say, let's do a Cardiff date, let's do a London date, let's go, you know, do some maybe rural events. So they would be smaller events, but I think that's what the music suits. I don't know if it would suit a big arena theatre feel anyway. I think it needs that intimate, so you can see the story and hear, you know, exactly what we're trying to convey. So when we're allowed and producers are willing to kind of go, we'll book you in, we'll not take a risk, but, you know, we're guaranteed to get a bit back, I think then something will happen. But for now, you know, even the big shows, I was looking at ticket sales the other day. I was looking at Wicked, just for an example, their first show. I thought, it must be sold out. And it's really not. And I'm thinking, why aren't the tickets selling? And then I realised there's no tourists here. It's only people in the UK. And so I think people are still a bit afraid to spend too much money. So, you know, we've got to do it at the right time that makes sense for... We want it to be capitalised as much as possible. So there's no point in going, let's do a concert next week when no one can really come. But we do have a gig at Zadel. So we're going back to do the album July 27th.
Yes,
so that would be nice.
The full album, which would be nice, obviously, because it changed slightly from the first time that we did it at Zadel. Obviously, it was just with a piano then, and we didn't have all these beautiful orchestral arrangements. And the songs have changed slightly. We've updated them for the album, as I said. So it would be nice to go back to Zadel, where we started, and be like... This is it now. This is the album.
This is the adult version of it. We did the, like, let's play around and see what happens. And now it's you know, it's locked in now.
Hi, I'm Marcus Mazzell, host of Past Present Feature, a filmmaker appreciation podcast showcasing new festival releases and the past films that inspired them. As a filmmaker myself, I started this podcast with the intention of building community while talking shop and to show love to past cinema that sparked a new wave of filmmakers to create the films of the future. Please like and subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media at Past Present Feature. Thank you for listening. Let's roll it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Amazing. How are you both kind of, I'm almost touching on what you're just saying there. How are you both feeling right now? Where are your, what gear are your brains in? Because it's, as performers, like we've all just, everything is just gone, right? We've just had this crazy, crazy time. But then you've done this album, and like, Lauren, you made your directorial debut like last year. Like, these crazy opportunities have been coming up. Sophie said before, we got like drive-ins left, right, center. You know, there's been all these weird things happening. So there have been like bursts now, hasn't there? There's almost like glimmers. So are you, how are you dealing with that? How are you just approaching a day-to-day life? Because there is this kind of these extreme highs, and then the lows are even more extreme than they would be in normal times. So how are you coping? Where are you at?
Well, it's a very big question. The start of lockdown, like it was like it was a novel to everyone, right? It was this like really exciting, and as you say, I was able to make my directorial debut and do The Last 5 Years, which was this like, to me, an amazing feat. I've always wanted to delve a bit into directing, and I still hope to do it a little bit more in the future. So it was amazing. And then, of course, as it continued, I think it all got a bit saturated, didn't it? Doing all the online stuff, we were all like, okay, I've had enough of this now. I'd like to get back on stage, actually, with a live audience. And so now I'm sort of at the point where I'm ready to get back on stage. And it's weird because unless you were sort of in a show before lockdown hit, there's not really many opportunities coming up. There might be little tiny gigs here and there that you can do, but I've sort of accepted the fact that I'm not sure I'm going to be in a big show again for a while because they're already cast. Of course, those cast that were already in a show have waited a year and now they'll do another year, you know. So I think it's just accepting and going, okay, it's fine. Sophie and I have managed to get this amazing album out, which I'm so proud of and so pleased about. And hopefully we'll get some little gigs in, and I'm not going to take it all too seriously or take it to heart and just sort of roll with the punches, because that's sort of what we've been doing anyway for the past 18 months, and just sort of, yeah, not get too upset or too hung up on the industry, as it were.
Yeah, I'm kind of similar in terms of, I've got this really funny thing at the moment. You know, everyone is so happy about theatres reopening, which obviously I am. But because, like Lauren said, we're not going into shows and the battle is still there for us. We still need to audition and we need the opportunities to come our way. So I'm a little bit like, I feel a little bit of pressure. I don't know about if other people feel like this. I feel a bit like, oh gosh, I need to get in. And theatres are open and I need to be in something. I need to announce something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact we have this album has been such a good thing to put my mind towards, know that there will be opportunities that come from it, and we just need to sit on it and be patient and wait for that, because as you say, shows have their casts and there'll be the opportunity here and there, but most things are for, you know, post January. So we're going into 23. Oh my gosh, what year are we? 21. So we'll be going into 22.
We're wishing these years away, so like it does feel like 2025. No. Like what year is it?
I don't know what day it is ever. So let alone the year. So 2022, I think, will probably be the boom for theatre. So like exactly like Lauren said, I'm kind of sitting on. Let's just be calm for now.
Yeah, try to be calm.
Take it in your stride and not get too overwhelmed when you see cast announcements for things that maybe were meant to happen last year that had cast but didn't announce. So I'm going, oh gosh, why am I not involved in that? And just taking a breath, you know?
But in normal times, I say in inverted commas, how do you approach like the game side of it, you know, like when you do have those highs and lows, you're auditioning for three things and you're like trying not to envisage the money just yet, or you're not trying to envisage the schedule and the life, and
it's so hard.
For some people are so come across it, they're so chill and so able to just be like, yeah, well, you know, it's fine, whatever. But some, you know, I know a lot of people who literally do start putting these things in their diary and they do start thinking about like their bank balance and all these factors, and then it's like the hardest bit. Like, how do you approach it?
Yeah, I mean, some things hit me harder than others. I think it depends, for me personally, how long you've been auditioning. Like sometimes auditions can last weeks, as you know, 6, 7, 8 rounds. Those ones hit me harder because like you've been living it and breathing it and you're like getting closer and closer and closer. But I think you just have to have the thickest skin. Like my mum always says to me, I don't know how you pick yourself up so quickly. And I'm like, well, I have to, there's no other option really. You know, like, yes, of course we want every role we're auditioning for. Of course we do. But it's not my job to get the job, if that makes sense. My job is to go in the room and do the best I can at the audition, the material they've given me, and be likable and presentable and, you know, do the best I can in the audition room. And then it's not up to me anymore. It's sort of up to them, up to fate. And I'm either right or I'm not. And I think you just have to get that in your head. Like it can be, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too anything. It can be nothing to do with your talent at all. So I think you just have to have that sort of thick skin and go, okay, brush it off. That didn't work out for me. What's next? You know?
What are you, Sophie?
I would say, in a way, you kind of have to put it in your subconscious diary, because if, say, for example, you audition for something and, oh, well, you would be involved from September to September and you were planning on, any, you know, a couple of gigs in that time, you think, well, I won't book them. And it's everything kind of like, it's a cycle, and it's a vicious cycle, because you might go, well, I won't say yes to that because if I get that, and it's a bit like trying to balance 10,000 things at once. But I think one of the main things I want to make sure I do this year is I saw something, I think Leighton Williams shared it, is something, we need to stop confusing availability, people's free time with availability, because mm-hmm. I think in our industry, and I know it has to be like this in a certain way, we would work at any point, we don't do bank holidays, so this whole bank holiday thing that's been going on through lockdown, and people are like, what's the bank holiday? I'm like, that really doesn't mean anything to a performer, because that usually means extra shows. So
weekends, you know, yeah, even weekends don't mean anything, yeah.
But I think, I'm getting a bit older now, and I think, no, I've missed out on people's weddings in the past and gone, I won't go to my friend's set anniversary dinner because I have this audition the next day, and just kind of balancing life and work a little bit more evenly, especially because I think it's going to be stressful anyway. So just availability, you know, it should be on our terms sometimes as well, I think.
Yeah, well, like audition, I think, like the most mind-blowing thing, what people probably don't appreciate, and I don't think I even really appreciate this until more recently, is that when you're going through rounds and rounds of auditions, this is your time that everyone to get out of work for and stuff. Yeah, exactly. You're not being paid for it, and it's really expensive to get there and to learn all this material. Like, it's like the amount of stuff you have to do for free, just before you've even got through a few rounds. It's like
it's so tough. I don't know how they would ever change that, because they can't pay for everyone. But for example, like, I choose to live in Cardiff, and that's totally my choice, and it's so much cheaper to live here. So I am saving money in terms of that. But every time I come up, you know, it's £70-80 for a train ticket. So if I come up for three rounds, then don't get it. That's a lot of money. Mm. So like, for example, there's a couple of things that I got asked to do or audition for a couple of months ago. And the pay weekly was so low that I was thinking, by the time I pay my agent, pay digs, pay this, pay that, I'm going to be on about £100 a week. And that's before I've eaten anything, you know? Mm. So I'm just thinking, I don't know how people do it. I really don't. It has to make sense for me like that. But I do take my hat off to people who just go, oh, I'll just do it and lose money. I wish I could do that, but I just can't.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. What are the things right now that's getting you excited? What's the happy place?
Go on.
Well, I was going to say it's the album. Yeah. I mean, I'm so proud and excited that I've never had an album out. Sophie's had a couple of solo albums out in the past, but I've never had an album at all. So this is like super exciting for me. And it's exciting even just talking about it makes me really excited, let alone the idea that we're going to eventually be able to do gigs and tours together is really exciting. And then for me, like Sophie was saying, taking a step into my life a little bit more and being like, okay, well, I'm going to learn the drums because I've got time, or I'm going to spend some time with my family. I'm going to go and, you know, spend time with my boyfriend or whatever. All the things that you, as performers, people don't realise that you don't actually get to do that often because we're always working. So yeah, that's getting me excited.
Yeah. For me, it's live singing in general. I just really, we did a concert together last week, actually, for Alice Fern's Intermissions, and that was amazing. I just listened to everyone's sound check and thought, this is what I've missed. I love singing. That is it. Mm-hmm. I just love, if it's in the car, if it's in the house, music just makes me happy. So it's just hearing live music, because in Wales as well, we've had a slightly different rule to England. Yes. We've had no live performance for a full year, not one live performance at all in this country, not even outdoors. There's been absolutely nothing. So I saw some, I think last week the rule changed, and I saw there was a band at like a big venue, like a bar place, but a band, and I was like, oh, that, just music. Just missed that so much.
That's insane. Nothing for a whole year.
No music for
a whole
year.
And I thought that there were times when you weren't able to get out of Wales to come and do jobs over here because the restrictions are different. Like, it's just so mind-blowing.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. But I did come up and do, as you mentioned, the drive-ins, and I did a really fun,
I saw you at the drive-in. I came to drive-in. It was the best thing ever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was so fun. You did one as well, didn't you, Lot?
I did one, too. So much fun, yeah.
It's so cool.
Really, really good concept.
And I'm like, long may that continue. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah. The tooting of the horns rather than clapping really freaked me out the first song. You know, it was, ah, ah, I was like, oh, that's a positive sound. They can't clap. It was so funny. And the windscreen wipes going to the music was so funny.
And Lauren, I feel like we need to get Lauren in the band of a show. Like, you need to be like the drummer in Six, please. That's me excited.
I had an actual dream that happened though when I was learning the song, because I was like living, breathing it, trying to learn it. And I had a dream that I played one of the queens, and in that very final song, I was the first and only ever queen to go back and play the final drum bit. And I was like, yes. And then I woke up, oh, it's not real.
Yeah.
Oh,
that would be the best thing ever. Fun. Thank you so much for doing this. Such a pleasure to speak to you on a bank holiday Monday and glorious sunshine. I hope you're going to enjoy some. But everyone needs to go check out the album when it's released in July. Please. Download, stream, everything. Come to the concert.
Yes, we've got a couple more singles coming out from the album before its actual release on July 2nd. So look out for a few more single drops as well. But yes, you can pre-order it now.
Chasing Rainbows, Finding Judy. We haven't even said the title, guys.
Oh yeah, Chasing Rainbows, Finding Judy is the title. Cool. Yeah,
you are like PR professionals. This is like another area. Thank you so much, girls. Thank you.
Thank you. Sophie
and Lauren's album, Chasing Rainbows, Finding Judy, is released on Friday, the 16th of July. Their latest single, Get Happy, is out today, and you can see them back at Live at Zadel on Tuesday, the 27th of July at 9 p.m. Thank you so much to Sophie and Lauren for taking time out to record this episode of In The Frame. It was such a pleasure to speak to them. If you enjoyed this episode and this series of In The Frame, make sure you hit that subscribe button, and you could also leave us a little Apple Podcast rating and review. You can follow West End Frame on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure you check out our other podcast, The West End Frame Show, for your weekly stagey catch-up. Thank you for listening to this series of In The Frame. I've had an absolute blast. And your messages and shares and just all the kind words all mean the world. I've been so lucky to speak to so many incredible people. Thank you to all the wonderful guests. We've heard so many incredible stories, and I have to say it's kept me going. Recording this series has just been the best thing ever. We'll be back very soon, but for now, thank you for listening.